Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at breast cancer, the leading cancer in women globally. But first, the World Health Organization says it has certified Egypt as malaria-free, marking the elimination of a disease that had been present in the country since ancient times. The WHO grants certification to countries that have proven beyond reasonable doubt that the chain of indigenous malaria transmission by the Anopheles mosquitoes has been interrupted for at least the previous three consecutive years. The status has been granted to a total of 44 countries and one territory globally. A country must also demonstrate the ability to prevent the re-establishment of transmission. Malaria kills more than 600,000 people every year, 95% of them in Africa, according to the WHO. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. In a historic move to address Africa's growing cancer burden, Breast Care International, an NGO based in Ghana, has begun construction of a $100 million US dollars comprehensive cancer unit in Kumasi. The facility, which will offer advanced diagnostics, radiotherapy, and treatment, aims to fill a critical gap in cancer care across the subregion, where the Lancet reports that a shortage of such facilities is projected to double cancer death by 2030. Sinanu Taud reports from Kumasi.
At Ejusu in Ghana, breast cancer survivors, advocates, and health professionals dance in celebration, marking a milestone in the fight against cancer in Africa. Breast Care International, BCI, has broken ground on the construction of a historic comprehensive cancer unit in Kumasi.
I am so excited about the Comprehensive Cancer of Excellence. This is a moment, and it's been in the making since Dr. Wiafi started this work in 2002 with a passion for saving women's lives, first in Ghana and then to serve all of West Africa.
The 52-acre project led by the BCI is inspired by their success in the fight against breast cancer. Through awareness campaigns and treatment, BCI now has over 900 breast cancer survivors, compared to less than 20 survivors in 2008.
Where we've reached with the breast cancer information, breast cancer awareness efforts, the things that we've been doing with breast cancer, we could use the breast cancer platform to create awareness about other cancers.
The Comprehensive Cancer Center will address all cancer-related issues in the sub-region, providing accessible healthcare on the continent. One advocate shared how the absence of such a facility in Africa cost the life of a family friend.
It was actually this year. I had a little boy who was 4 years old die from cancer. And we did everything that we could. Eventually, as had to happen, we had to send him to India. He went to India, had treatment, came back, relapsed, and died.
Darko explained that there wasn't a nearby cancer facility to attend to the emergency relapse. It is expected that all that will change when the $100 million cancer center is completed. With $1 million US dollar support from the White House Cancer Moonshot Fund, the first phase of the project is expected to be completed within 3 years. It will serve patients and also help in research.
The goal here is to extend the Cancer Moonshot, President Biden's Cancer Moonshot, globally. If you extend this globally, you can really have a bigger impact. Also impact that comes back and benefits the United States. I can give you examples. This summer we had US students, from University of Pennsylvania come here to Ghana, and they are learning.
The center will operate on the principle of equity, ensuring that every patient receives treatment, regardless of their financial situation.
So we don't want any patient to walk to this Comprehensive Cancer Center of Excellence and be turned away because he or she doesn't have money.
Operating through public and private funding, the center will provide advanced diagnostics, radiotherapy, and personalized care. According to The Lancet, sub-Saharan Africa faces a severe shortage of cancer treatment facilities, which is projected to double cancer deaths by 2030. This new unit aims to bridge the gap improving access to care and reducing the cancer burden across Africa. Sana Alutot, VOA News, Kumasi.
We asked listeners to share their thoughts on breast cancer, best ways to support patients, and how effective are campaigns like Pink October in raising awareness. Here are some reactions from Nigeria.
Feeling that there are lumps, and when you press it gently, you'll be having the pains on the breast is one sign or symptoms of breast cancer. Best supporting someone that is battling on breast cancer, I believe there are NGOs that are taking care of women on breast cancer to educate them for them to go for checkup regularly in the hospital, for them to take their treatment seriously.
The signs and symptoms is just the examination I know about. As a man, you should be able to help your wife as well to check, to touch the breast. And once they notice you have it, it's just to take you to the hospital.
Actually, I don't know much, but I know that when we were in secondary school, there was this counseling. They used to counsel us that when a girl is bringing out a breast, she should be touching from the top of the breast if there is some lump. That's one of the signs. And you should immediately dictate it and then take yourself to the hospital. That's all what I know about that.
Okay, the symptoms or the signs of breast cancer can come in so many ways, both internally or externally. So what I know more is of the external signs, which is, first of all, the texture of the breast is usually not normal. It's usually rough, and there are some kind of mumps like itching on the body that, you know, I don't know how to explain this. Whenever there are like mumps there, it means it's something that has been itched on. You do scratch it, so it's the mumps, it produces a kind of liquid that spreads around the breast and causes more mumps every other place. And then, I don't know, it's just a very weird, and it makes the skin of the breast to be somehow very rough. Like, I don't know if you know what they call strawberry skin, like the texture of strawberry with the holes around the that is how the breast tends to be. And then internally, I know that there are lumps. Yes, the lumps are there, which causes extreme pain one way or the other. I'm not really conversant with the move of breast cancer awareness, but with the little I've seen in other places, I know they are trying anyway, because they give free treatment to people. They give they give out therapeutic sessions to people who have it, just to let them know that all is well. It's not the end of the world, right? So I know they are really putting in their best, and it's taking effect, but not in a wide range, but it's taking effect.
Observers say while global awareness of breast cancer has increased, many African countries face significant challenges in early detection, diagnosis, and treatment. In Kenya, stigma and poverty hinder cancer treatment as rates rise in the East African country.
Speranza Maina initially found herself in denial after being diagnosed with breast cancer. For months, she kept her diagnosis a secret from her family, delaying essential treatment. But the emotional burden was only part of her struggle.
Then you are left in borrowing out money from people. And still, you need a special diet where you don't get the money from. You go to people. Sometimes even you call people, they don't even pick your course.
Each round of chemotherapy costs 35,000 Kenyan shillings, over $280, which is too expensive for many patients in the country. According to a recent World Bank report, most cancer cases are diagnosed at an advanced stage, leaving families with few treatment options and often pushing them into crippling debt. Stigma makes the problem worse.
A lot of our cultural background finds any topics to do with sex, the female reproductive system, a bit taboo. So what tends to happen, a lot of these women have early symptoms of the disease, but fear coming out to have them attended to. Or alternatively, yes, they know there's something off, but then they think in terms of, if I go speaking to my husband, for example, who's the one who's meant to take me to hospital, I'll be replaced.
Government data show that cancer diagnoses in Kenya are on the rise, with an alarming 30% increase in annual cases between 2012 and 2018. The Health Ministry attributes this spike to improved life expectancy and the growing prevalence of unhealthy lifestyle choices, such as lack of physical exercise and smoking. Despite the challenges, Speranza remains hopeful. She has found support in the form of Mutoni Maina, a fellow survivor who has launched what she calls a cancer cafe. It is a safe space for patients to talk and find support.
90% of the population is either affected by cancer, know somebody who has cancer, or has it themselves. So that's literally a very big chunk of the population for us not to have that conversation. So the fact that now it's a conversation that is being had over and over again is going to get rid of the stigma.
Mutoni believes that fostering open dialogue in communities is essential for raising awareness about breast and cervical cancer, particularly in areas where stigma still prevails.
When a woman has a mammogram, the most important finding is whether there is any sign of breast cancer. And the second most important finding is whether her breasts are dense. Take a listen.
So dense breast is based on the mammogram images of your breast. One end of the spectrum, we have patients who have predominantly fatty breasts. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have patients who have predominantly glandular breasts. This is an example of a mammogram of the left breast and a patient who has predominantly fatty breasts. And as you can see, the background is black. And if she were to develop any masses, they would be like a beacon, like a chalk on a blackboard. This is an example of a dense breast. And as you can see, the background on this x-ray is very white. So for people with dense breasts, we often, advise them to get additional imaging. Mammogram is the gold standard for detecting breast cancer and for saving lives early.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Next, Straight Talk Africa. The International Monetary Fund's Managing Director, Kristalina Georgieva, talks to Voice of America about Africa and its future. Join me, Vincent McCorry, for an in-depth conversation on how the IMF views Africa's growth potential on the next Straight Talk Africa, Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us, we are discussing breast cancer on the program today. Gloria Kida is co-founder and CEO of Shuja Cancer Foundation in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. She was diagnosed with breast cancer more than 10 years ago. Today, she is using her experience and platform to empower women and provide support in communities. I spoke with her to find out more about her experience and advocacy work. Take a listen.
Way back in 2010, I was doing visits to my gyno every month just to see the best control plan for myself. So during the visits, that's when the doctor noticed a lump on my left breast, and he advised me to go and do some screening, and I did a mammogram and an ultrasound, and the results came back and say they showed there was a lump on my breast, left breast, but the doctor said it was nothing of any cancer or whatsoever. But I was told it was a fibroadenoma, of which I did Google and it find out it was non-cancerous. But the doctor advised me to repeat the same procedure, the screening, after 9 months. So in 2011, sometimes in May, I repeated the same thing, and at a different hospital, though. And the doctors found out still the lump was there. And one of the doctors advised me to go and see a breast health specialist. And I went to see a breast specialist, and I tried to explain I gave the doctor about family history that in my mother's side, there was my aunt had breast cancer and my other aunt had lung cancer. But unfortunately, the doctor said, you know what, this is nothing to worry, it's just a breast cyst. So, and that was it. And because I was not knowledgeable and I had no idea, I had no knowledge, total no knowledge of breast cancer. And during that time, with all my exposure, knowledge and everything, I never came across breast cancer awareness that took me at my attention. So I was completely layman, and I didn't have a time to argue or to challenge the doctor because I was not informative of anything about breast cancer, the symptoms, and what to be done when somebody is found with a lump. So I left with my files and my report. And sad enough, by that time, I could feel the lump. I could feel that little bubble on my breast that moving around when I touch it, moving around. But sadly, I was told there's nothing to worry. I should just go back home. And I was not given anything or advice for anything. Maybe I should report the same thing after a couple of months. So I went back home, but deep inside my heart was troubled. I said, there's something wrong. This cannot be a cyst. This cannot be something, nothing. So during that time, it got to December. So we decided to go for holidays. And I called my sister-in-law in the U.S. and said, we're coming for holiday because my daughter was in the union. So let's go for a holiday. But I said, no, what? I'm going to take all my reports, all my documents from these doctors. I'm going to go along with them. So I took them along with me. And when we got there, I decided to go and see one of the family doctors. And we went through my reports, and they suggested that I should repeat everything. So I did repeat the screening the screening, the mammogram and ultrasound. And I was called back in 2 hours. And then that was the breaking news for us. When he called us, my husband, myself, and my sister-in-law who lives in the U.S., so we were called back to the hospital, and the doctor broke the news that, I'm so sorry, ma'am, that seems like there's a lump in your breast, and we suspect it's a breast cancer, but we're going to do a biopsy. So they had to go and do the biopsy, and I got my results, my pathology reports, just 3 days before Christmas. And I told myself that was my Christmas gift. It wasn't easy. After we was given the news, we all broke down into tears. So that was a complete shock to us, because after being for sure for 1.5 years that I had nothing, and now I've been told that I have breast cancer, it was kind of very shocking to us because we are not prepared for it. We're sure that it was nothing. We just going to confirm more that it was nothing. So that was my experience.
What challenges did you face as a breast cancer patient, and how did you find strength and resilience during difficult moments?
Because, as I said, we were not prepared for the news. We just went there for a holiday. The big challenge was there. Now we have to do the treatment. And financially, we're not prepared. And my insurance was not able to cover the medical treatment. That was our biggest challenge. But because of the family and because of my faith in God, we took it positive, and knowing that everything happened for a reason. Because before I left go to the U.S., I knew I was fine. And if it was not the opportunity for going to the U.S. and do recheck, I could just stay the remaining back home and do nothing. But that step of move of going to the U.S. and decide to do the checkup, it opened the door. So we say, you know what? God will open the doors for us. With all this treatment and the bills, God will do a miracle. Truly, it happened. And I was able to do all my treatment and finish all my treatment there. And that was a challenge, but at the same time was a blessing to us too.
What were some of the most significant lessons you learned during your treatment and recovery process?
The most lesson I learned that I can say was my persistence, not resting, not accepting what the doctor said and told me that I have nothing to worry. That persistence of pushing, so you know what? No, I have to find out more. I have to look for another opinion and make sure that everything is fine. That was my strength. And also another good experience I got it was having a breast health navigator there. She was special. To me, she was like an angel because going for the place that I've never been treated in abroad and being a first time, being a foreigner, and coming across someone who took her through the process, the pathway, and everything, that was another miracle because to me, and it made everything possible, and even for my recovery, it made everything go smooth because of the navigator who took us the process, and even where we got lost, she took us through. She made us understand and took us through. So those were the most important things that I've learned, and
How did your diagnosis influence your decision to establish the Shuja Cancer Foundation?
Because of my experience and what I went through before I went to the U.S., and because the experience I've learned from this treatment, from their support, from their whole experience of the diagnosis to the treatment to the recovery, made me push me and open, made me feel like I have something to do back home to my community. Because if it was not for me being able to go there and experience the whole system of the treatment, I could have not known all that I've gained, that which were really important for me to share back home. Because I know what I went through back home and the experience I had, and coming to up this open door, I've seen a different other side of this system that I've learned, that I've experienced. It really opened me then and pushed me to which led me to this, or starting the Shuja Cancer Foundation. And when I go back, I decided to advocate and inspire people about not to be scared and also not to be to worry, because most of the time people think when you have cancer, it's end of life, it's death sentence. To me, it wasn't. It opened my eyes and seeds. It's a new chapter for my life and a good experience that I'm not supposed to share to my community.
And what are some of the most impactful programs or initiatives that the foundation has implemented to support cancer patients or even raise awareness?
With Shuja, we are supporting reproductive cancer survivors, those who are inactive and those who are post-active treatment. And during the process, we realized there was a gap on the survivorship, because once you're done, you're left alone. And survivors are going through a lot of challenges, needs that are not addressed during the treatment or after the treatment. So we realize that there's a need to start the Shuja to support those who are done with the treatment, to get them through the new life, the new normal that they are facing now. And besides that, also to continue with addressing the issue of reproductive cancer by advocating bring awareness to the community, because still people are unknowledgeable, and still there's a lot of misconceptions, and still there's a lot of stigma, and still there's a lot of fear of being diagnosed cancer. So with this, we say, no, we have to break that. So by addressing the people, by giving them the true information, by giving them hope and trying to educate people so that they know that, and they should not be scared of cancer, because it's a scary word, though, I know, but it's not at the end of the world, because dying, everyone will die. It doesn't matter, have to be only cancer. People die with heart attack and different diseases, but people, because of that, cancer seems something very big. It may be people fear of going to the hospital. They opt for the other option because they think when they go to the hospital, they're going to die, which is not true. So we are trying to advocate to make people not to be scared of being checked and going to the hospital, and trying to convince people to have that habit, also do the checkups and things like that.
And finally, Miss Gloria, before we wrap, what message do you hope to convey to others who may be facing a similar diagnosis or journey?
Well, I can say that early checkup, early detection saves life, and people should not be scared. There is hope. And what we are saying right now with that we are in this together. We are there to support and help other than to go through and take them, make their journey smooth and easy for them. Because during the journey, if you don't have a good support, one can give up in the middle of the journey. So we are here together, that we'll be there, make sure that we go through the process and the journey together and make sure they all finish well and they all become, get to recover well and get to fulfill their dreams, because we all have dreams. And when this cancer comes along, it kind of changes you, not being able to think that you won't be able to fulfill your dreams and not being able to make it. So with us, we're trying to tell people and give people hope of making sure that they'll reach their dream, they'll finish well, and all will be okay.
That was Gloria Kida, co-founder and CEO of Shujaa Cancer Foundation in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
We live in the digital age, and parents across the world are dealing with the challenge of trying to manage screen time and to understand the content of their children's digital engagement. Even worse, some parents' use of technology is distracting them from their children. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we will explore the new challenges of parenting in the digital age. Join the conversation on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on the Voice of America.
On November 5th, tune in to VOA Africa for comprehensive coverage of the U.S. presidential election. Our team of reporters will be live from polling stations across the country, bringing you the latest updates and real-time results. Stay informed with VOA Africa, your trusted source for election news.
Relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Kwame Ofori. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.